I hope this doesn't sound like a dumb question. What jumps out at you? What are you most proud of on that sheet you sent me?
Well, asking, you know, somebody what they're most proud of is never a dumb question. That's a great question, because I get to talk about my favorite subject, which is myself. And
the reason I ask that question is there are a lot of choices.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm going to go with the gross revenue, because for a guy whose length of industry experience is 15 to 24 years, you know, growing production by 50% from one year to the next is ridiculous. I mean, that's just unheard of.
You're right. That's my experience, Abraham, that you don't see those kind of growth numbers on your LOS. Now,
I mean, from a rookie who goes from having one client to two, that can happen, but yeah. not like this. And yeah. The consulting group fee-based assets up 15%. I mean, that's good. I see that as a continuation of last year where it was up 55%. So yeah. We are getting that flow through from that assets to the production in the following year, which is good. But to me, I mean, that story is one that, you know, we've already written that story. So it's nice to see the flow through to the production side.
Well, that's what's happened. When you say that's last year's story, it is.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is we got that ball rolling last year. I mean, that train's already rolling, and it's going to keep rolling. It's not a done, you know, we're not done by any means. But, you know, to me, that's old news, so to speak.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, but it's you know the difference, but you know what inertia is, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The ability, the tendency of something in motion to stay in motion, and the tendency of something at rest to stay at rest. So you've got a lot of positive inertia here. When you look back, what do you see as the two questions? What do you see as the biggest game changer for you? And the second question is, what was the hardest thing for you to do to get a report that looks like this?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think the obvious answer was adopting and committing to the Supernova model was the game changer. I think that created the foundation. I caught myself thinking, yeah, but you know, you had this really big client and you just gone bananas. But you know what? If I hadn't made myself worthy of that client, he never would have shown up. And if he had, he never would have given me, you know, as much as he has given me. I do feel that it was the work we did to put the foundation into place. I mean, do you want something more specific within that, or is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you've answered my question, but I was looking for something more specific. You said the biggest change was adopting Supernova. What within Supernova was the biggest change agent for you?
Well, so for me, it was not just adopting Supernova and, you know, coughing up the $8,000 and having these phone calls and all that. It was really committing to the structure of the monthly calls and with the clients, and just essentially going out and running the game plan, even if, you know, without second guessing it and trying to do it my way, and, you know, just you know, making the continuing to offer the, you know, these monthly calls, and, you know, being a strong advocate for clients taking advantage of it, and you know, talking to the having, you know, having meaningful scheduled discussions with my clients once a month. I recently completed reading that book, The One Thing, and you know, I don't know if are you familiar with it?
I have heard of it. I'm not familiar with it.
It's an idea that, you know, they stretched into an entire book, and basically the idea is you find your one thing that you can do that moves the needle, and you focus less on, and you really time block and commit to it and focus and cut out those distractions that really don't. So for me, my one thing is undoubtedly having high quality scheduled face to face or phone call appointments with prospects and clients. That's what moves the needle. Everything else is more or less just noise. So, you know, just really setting up that structure, which took a lot of work to do, but once it's up and running, you know, it's a structure, and you know, putting the clients into it, good things happen.
True.
Yeah.
Give me the LOS that you're in, length of service. It's what range?
We have it at 15 to 24, which is a broad category. I got licensed in 98, so I'm coming up on 20 years now.
Yeah. Well, as you look at your quintile, that's a really great way to kind of level things. I mean, you're not competing here with LOS 3s. You're competing with people who are in the prime of their career. For the most part, and I see lots of threes. In the middle of the most competitive area, you haven't always been there.
No, I've been in my case. No, man, I've been sucking hind tits.
a farm term.
A farm term.
I think it's terrific. I see something that surprises me, last year you were in the first quintile in net new assets. Am I reading that right?
Yeah.
This year you are, in the fifth. Has there been any one thing that's caused that?
You mean the bank that took, that withdrew their $56 million account?
That would be it, wouldn't it?
That had a big part, played a big role in it. So if you net them out, I'm actually positive pretty decently.
Yeah. Was that account producing much in revenue?
Zero.
Okay. So when you look at those, a lot of these red numbers are because of that one account that didn't do any business.
Yeah, entirely. And we pretty much put it to them of, you know, in person politely of, hey, look, you know, either we're going to get in the mix to, you know, get involved in your portfolio management, or we're going to, you know, we're not going to keep clearing your trades for nothing.
Yeah, well, where'd they take that business, do you know?
I don't even remember. Default Financial or something. They're frustrating. They're difficult to work with. And I just never got the ear of the investment committee. And long story, but I'm forever grateful to them because they were here just for the right period of time to allow me to get several hundred thousand dollars worth of asset bonuses. And they also left shortly after that period ended, which did coincide with our, you know, shit or get off the pot meeting.
Yeah. All right. Good. Anything else that you would point out here that is something that you're really excited about, or something that you have identified as something you need to work on? And I ask that question without prejudice. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking anywhere.
Sure. You know, I'm happy with my consulting group fee-based ROA. That came down from 1.22. Which was pretty great, down to 108. And the reason for that is because of this client who put $12 million with me. I've cut him, I did 1% on the first 10 and then 75 bips on the next 10. So, you know, that's pulling it down, but I think that's a good thing. you know, my pricing schedule is, it definitely incentivizes larger accounts. So to me, that's, you know, it came down because I brought in some larger accounts, not because I've been discounting. So I'm happy with that. You know, nothing else really jumps out. You know, I feel like my fee-based revenue percentage is good. You know, it's come down a bit because I've done more syndicate business this year. You know, recurring revenue has come down again to the more syndicate business. That's come online nicely. Mostly just with this one client out in California. And, you know, the fee-based asset percentage and the ROA will definitely improve as that big debt account gets off, you know, continues to roll off the books.
Yeah. All good stuff. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
I think I should have seen before, Abraham. I remember talking to you from a parking lot in Lexington, Kentucky. I was trying to find a U-Haul because my wife had bought so much stuff at an antique auction. And we were pretty frank with each other. And
yeah.
Cindy told me later that you were concerned that we were going to start on time and end on time and not be any, you know, get rushed through the thing because I had to hurry on to the next call. So I got off to a start like this with one of your fellow Morgan Stanley guys in Boston, and like you, we developed it into a great relationship. So I'm really proud of what you've done.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, all right, to kind of continue the theme of, you know, what self-diagnosing or taking a checkup on things. I think the thing that I most need your help with, which is, of course, what I least want to talk about today, is the number of new households I brought in, which is not great. And, you know, year to date, I'd have to really think hard to even think of one that I brought in for 2017. So I think that's where we can really kick this thing into high gear.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think what I have prepared here today will fit in with that.
All right.
I'm making a note. All right. Let's, anything else?
Nope.
All right. Okay. This fits perfectly. If I could solve only one practice issue for you today, what would it be? And you've already answered it. That would be more new relationships. Now, I said it that way because we talked a little about this in our last meeting. A great question.
Mm-hmm.
When you're sitting down with a prospective client for the first time, is if I could only solve one financial issue for you today, what would it be? Great way to start a conversation. You don't say financial problem. That sounds like it's something urgent. A financial issue could be, you know, I've got a son that I can't leave this money to, or I've got a special needs child, a grandchild, whatever. You really get down to some, when you ask that question, you can get down to some heart, H-E-A-R-T issues. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that you differentiate yourself from who they're dealing with now is if you're talking about heart issues that they've never talked with their financial advisor about ever, all of a sudden you're starting to look different. So a great way to start.
Absolutely.
Last month.
Yeah, I like that.
Last month we talked about using the enthusiastically endorsed question. The purpose of that, part of your brand is making sure that your clients get the very best professional help they can get away from the things that you do for them. So when you're asking a client the enthusiastically endorsed question, and they're not going to do this, but if they say, well, why do you want to know that? Your response is, well, part of what I do for my clients is to make sure that they have the very best professional help away from the things that I do for them. So helping your people have other strong professionals as part of your brand. The other reason that you ask the enthusiastically endorsed question is that you have an opportunity to refer to other people. We believe that you got to give before you get.
Absolutely.
And our rule of thumb, and I know you remember this from earlier in Supernova, is 3-1. If you've given somebody 3 referrals and you haven't gotten anything back, it's time to, I'm not saying after the third, you give them a third, you call them, beat them up. It's just a bell ought to go off that this isn't working out as a two-way street. So asking this enthusiastically endorsed question is going to be, this one takes a little bit of time to reap the benefit, but it's very, very effective. So my last part of what I want to talk about today was the game board. So how many of your folks do you know who their CPA is? Let's stick with the CPA.
You know, I'd have to say 50% of them.
All right.
That's entirely a guess right off the top of my head. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Well, even if you know who it is, you still ask the enthusiastically endorsed question. You shared with me that Bill is your CPA. I've never asked you, is Bill someone that you can enthusiastically endorse? And you don't say, do you like him? That's too low a standard. Can you enthusiastically endorse him? And they're going to say, I don't really understand your question. And that's when you have to be able to describe what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. And the way I explain this is talk about mine. I've had the same CPA since 95 or 96. And he returns phone calls. He returns emails. He follows up on issues. I got audited last year. We went through it together and passed with flying colors. He's aggressive within the law. He explained to me that as long as people don't overstate expenses and understate income, everything else is interpretation. And it's really right. If I write something off, I declare it, and I've got the receipts and all that, all the IRS can do is say, we're not going to allow it. It's not like I have made up expenses or hidden income. So that's how I would describe an enthusiastically endorsed CPA. You've got, do you have a CPA you really like?
I do.
Okay. You make a list of why you really like this CPA, and you spell that out for your client, and the client says, well, gosh, I'm not getting those things.
Right.
Well, this is pretty obvious. I work with CPAs around the Coral Gables area. I would be happy to introduce you to one or two of them to see if it might be a fit. Obviously, this would be on a non-obligatory basis. So, sure, I'd love to do that. Now you have the ability to refer. The fellow I mentioned to you in Boston, and I know I'm repeating, but repeating the right things is usually a good thing. He got 5 referrals to give to his CPA. In like a week. He said, I've gotten more referrals to give in the last week or 2 weeks, I forget the time frame, than I have in the last 5 years. So you're asking this question because you want to make sure your clients have the very best professional help away from the things you do for them. Now, if they say, well, Abraham, now that you describe what a great CPA or enthusiastic CPA does, I'm getting all those things and even more. I love my CPA.
Okay.
Your response is terrific. I'm glad to hear that. One of the things that I do is to make sure that my clients have the very best professional help away from the things I do for them. And then you say, I like to think I get to work. I like to think that I know the good CPAs in the area. May I call them and use your name and introduce myself?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say yes. Now, here's the next step is you call these people and you use your client's name. Bill Smith, yeah. You get screened or whatever. You know, my name's Abraham Horowitz. I have a common client with Bill Jones, who's a CPA. May I speak with him, please? He's going to take your call or return your call because you're using the client's name.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing you got to, the way you start that conversation is I was in my monthly meeting or in my monthly conversation with whoever the common client is, and he was singing your praises. I work with CPAs around the Coral Gables area. I like to know the good ones. Is there a time that I could stop by and you could explain for me what you do that makes our common client so excited about your practice?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said this to you when we talked about this in depth early in Supernova, is that CPA will take that meeting because he doesn't want small accounts. He can't
sure,
put any
sure.
he can't put any margin in that. He wants mm-hmm. people that are in your practice.
Right.
So you go out and see him and he's explaining, and just through the natural progression of the conversation, you're gonna have an opportunity to talk about your practice. It just mm-hmm. happens. When I
sure,
told my
sure.
CPA 5 years ago, that I said I needed to get a little advice from him around how I get taxed on this consulting income. He said, "Well, explain what you're doing." And I explained Supernova to him, and he said, "Oh, Robbie said I did that a couple of years ago. You have to generate a certain fee to be in his practice, and mm-hmm. I was able to reduce my staff from 9 to 3 people because he was dealing with fewer people." So what you're going to have, one of the reasons that this CPA probably gives great service is he doesn't have 1,000 relationships, and then you're
sure.
going to be able to tack onto that. It's interesting you mentioned that, Bill. That's something I've done in my practice too. Several years ago, I took a step back, blah, blah, blah. You know how that statement goes. Now,
let me ask you if I may.
Sure.
In that first meeting with the CPA, is there any specific check or agenda item you want to be sure that we hit, or any particular format? Because I know, like, you know, that, for example, the AllianceBernstein method wants you to just meet for 20 minutes and then get out of there, and, you know, there's different approaches for exactly what to do, but it sounds like the gist of it is that you want to sit down with the guy, make, you know, connect with him, focus on why, you know, what it is he does for his clients, let him naturally ask what I do, and then share with him my process. Is that basically the gist of it?
That is the gist of it. The one thing I would stress is he's taking this appointment under the assumption that you're coming to talk to him about his practice.
Right. For sure.
If you launch immediately into what you do and why, you know, what's in it for you,
no, I get,
you've,
I
lost,
get that.
You've lost credibility. So the answer to your question is, I mean, you've been doing this long enough, you go in and get him, you know, what do business owners like to talk about?
Their business. Sure.
And you take notes and mm-hmm. it's just, you're going to have opportunities. The 20 minutes, I am ambivalent about how long
sure.
it is. Shorter is always better.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a conversation. This is most efficiently done, Abraham, as a tag on to what you're doing. This does not have to
mm-hmm.
be a special call, so it's not any extra time. Bill, as I was looking at your file, I noticed that I don't have down the name of the person who does your taxes. Well, why do you want to know that? You know, well, glad you asked. One of the things I do for my clients is make sure they have the very best professional help away from the things that I do for them. Oh, well, I left out, can you enthusiastically endorse him? And he says, well, yeah, I don't understand the question. You have to be able to describe what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. If they can't, you've got people that you can refer in. If he does enthusiastically endorse, you have an opportunity to have an appointment. And you get in, if you didn't know this, you knew it intuitively. When a CPA or anybody gives when a professional gives you a referral, they're taking a risk.
Sure.
Because if you blow them up, they're going to lose they can lose a client.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to make it really easy for them. I think it's easier to refer to a concierge type practice than it is to somebody who doesn't have any game or, there's just nothing
for sure
fancy. So that's right. It. Now this takes some time, but it'll pay dividends. Your next call today is going to give you an opportunity to have that question, have that
right.
conversation, if it's appropriate. I mean, somebody calls in and says, go ahead.
I was going to say a couple of things that come up for me. I have some of my A clients, even A-plus clients, happen to be out of town. A couple are in Ohio, New York, California. Is there anything that can really be done with that or not really?
If you had a cluster of people in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm just making it up, five or six people, probably, I would still ask the question. It strengthens your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody doesn't like their CPA, you could help them find one.
Sure. Is it correct to say in cases like that, of course, ask the question, all that good stuff, make contact with the CPA, try and establish a friendly relationship. If you need us, we're here to help, K-1s, blah, 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 like every other broker does, which I'm not one of. But anyway, and try and get them, at least a favorable relationship in your corner so that, maybe if they ever have the opportunity, someone asks them, hey, I'm moving to Florida. Do you know anybody down in Miami? Maybe they send something my way, but at least make them friendly and not a potential enemy.
Are you talking about people that are out of town?
CPAs that are of my out-of-town clients.
Yeah. I Abraham, that's I'm not sure that is going to be that productive. I mean,
I don't think it will either. I mean, I don't think so either.
My focus here would be with your local clients.
Sure.
But I would still ask the question. I would start with my local clients, get that penetrated, and then add your out-of-town clients to that.
Sure, that makes sense.
If you can always get them a referral locally. Mm-hmm. I bet if you ask one of your CPAs, I got a client in Ohio, you know anybody there? Or
sure.
How would you go about helping him? You could do that, but let's focus on your local people, and then when you're finished with that, let's start working on your out-of-town people.
And obviously, I assume we start at the top, with the clients that I would most want to replicate.
You sooner or later you're going to get to all of them. As I said a minute ago, these could be tag-on questions, and they don't call in and ask
sure.
in order. So I would just start where you could start. Now, I'm going to jump ahead. You got a few more minutes?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Okay. You remember we talked about the game board?
Okay.
Now, to put something on your game board, you can put a maximum of two things up there. It's one or two things. If it's more than two, it becomes a laundry list.
Right.
Advisors are good about hiding behind a laundry list.
Sure.
So maybe one of the things you would put on your game board, and to be on the game board, it has to be doable and it has to be quantifiable. You don't just say, okay, I want to have some enthusiastically endorsed questions, conversations. I want to have some enthusiastically endorsed questions, and I want to have four of them. So on your game board, earlier in Supernova, I sent you a copy of your game, of a game board. Do you still have that? If not, I'll send it to you. On your game board, while we're talking, I'm going to send it to you. Are you by your computer?
I am, but I'm trying to find the email, and that's going to take,
don't.
Let's see, you can find it first.
There you are.
Oh, here it is. All right, I found it.
Okay. So what you would put on that game board, I'm getting a copy in front of me also, is, okay, you've got the one that says Advisor 1, Train COI, the goal is 2.
Yep.
Okay, so what you would put there is your goal would be enthusiastically endorsed. Your goal would be to have, what's a reasonable goal to have? How many of those conversations would it be reasonable to have?
With clients?
Yeah.
In what period of time?
Between in the next 5 business days, you assign it. If you make your goal, your goal is for the next 5 business days.
Okay. So this is a weekly thing.
Yep.
All right. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in my case, because that's how many appointments I have where it'd be appropriate to do so.
Okay. All right. And you may have, so your goal would be 7. Now, is that a reasonable goal?
I mean, I don't see why not.
Okay. Well, so you put 7 in there, and you grade your the next Monday. Let's say you do this every Monday, or you do it every Friday before you leave. Your goals for the next week around the game board, and if at the end of the week you've gotten 7 done or 8 done, you've accomplished something. You've moved the pile. It helps you.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you prioritize. It's you can't control results, Abraham.
Right.
But you can control activity.
Sure.
Activity brings more activity. No activity brings more lack of activity. So
right.
On your game board, you would have on there enthusiastically endorsed, your goal is 7, and then you grade yourself. I got an 8, whatever. You may want to put enthusiastically endorsed up there for the next week also. So this is a way for you to hold yourself accountable. Now, so here is a way that you'll get some activity pretty quickly for it to come to fruition, for it to start flowing back to you, is going to take some time.
Now, should the board be an actual, like, big old whiteboard I mount on the
wall, right,
or? What should it be?
You there?
Yeah, did you hear me?
So homework from January was to have educational calls or meetings with each of your COIs, making sure they understand what you do. And again, the names, Scott, Fernando, Bill, Bonnie, Greg, Justo, and Felix are the names you gave me. Have you had an opportunity to sit down with them and explain specifically what your practice looks like?
With Scott, yes. With Bill, yes. That was very productive. With Husto, yes, and he also experiences it because he's a client. With Greg, no. He travels a lot. He's going through some personal stuff, and it just hasn't worked out. But he is also a client. With Bonnie's an interesting one because she's an attorney. She's a client, but she's resistant to Supernova structure. She's retired. She doesn't want to have meetings. She just wants to know, you know, lets me handle stuff, knows I'm doing a good job. And she has given a lot of referrals over the years. And I've given her a lot of referrals last year. She's pretty resistant to the structure and resistant to the idea of meeting. So no is the answer I'm getting at.
Okay.
And in fact, she's probably one where some advice on how to approach her would be much needed.
Well,
or much appreciated, rather.
You can't force her to have meetings. That would be counterproductive,
right,
and she could do it.
For sure.
What I would do from time to time is say, Bonnie, I know I've mentioned this to you before about having regularly scheduled meetings. I know you didn't care to do it at the time. I want to make sure that that's still how you mm-hmm. feel. You know, let her opt out
again. That's a good point. And I am doing it with several clients she referred to me, and they're very satisfied.
Terrific. Terrific.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do with Bonnie.
Okay.
It's important that these people know, can specifically describe what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing is for you, you pretty much, not pretty much, but you've got a good number of these people who can specifically describe your practice.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay. All right. So let's just do just quickly. And the question is going to be, have you gotten a referral in the last 6 months? I'm not going to ask it each time. I'm just going to give you the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
All I need is a yes or a no. Scott.
Okay. Yes.
Yes or okay. Fernando.
No.
Bill F.
No.
Bonnie.
Yes.
Greg M.
Yes.
Okay, Justo.
No.
Felix Q.
I don't remember if it was within the 6 months or not, but maybe.
Okay. Now, do each of those people know where you stand with the person they referred to you?
Yes.
So you circled back and said, I've met with them. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've met with them. We hit it off really well. We're going to continue our discussions. They know where that stands.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. So has Justo given you referrals in the past?
Oh yeah,
okay.
Definitely terrific ones too.
Okay, all right. What do you think that you need to? Do you think there's anything you need to do with these people to keep you in front of them?
You know, in the case of Husto, for example, I mean, I think I'm already doing it. He has breakfast almost every day at this very clubby restaurant, and I meet him once a month. I mean, I meet him every month instead of doing a conference call. And he introduces me to folks. It really is like this little mafia club kind of place. No, I mean, for example, I'm well in front of him with Bonnie. You know, Bonnie will sit down with a meeting every now and again, as long as I don't hit her up too often. I probably, you know, it would be wise to sit down with her. So it kind of depends person by person. I mean, Bill Forsey, I think it'd probably be worth, you know, in some way circling back to him. When I described the Supernova process I'd adopted, it really struck a chord with him. He's trying to take his practice in a similar direction.
Well, here's something I'm sitting here thinking how to reengage in a thoughtful, non-sales way.
Sure.
And what's coming to mind is, you're talking to one of these people that, you know, Bonnie, you've been really, helpful in my practice. You've been a big part of my practice. As you know, I made some pretty significant changes to my practice, over the past, 12 months. And, it's really done, wonders for my business. It's a more quiet business. My business is growing. People are really liking what I'm offering. Does anybody come to mind who might be a good fit in my practice? I'm just thinking about this. So if I had more time to think about it, I probably could have been a little smoother, but that's the way I would go back and tie it up. The points would be, you have been an important part of my practice, you've referred people to me in the past who've become good clients. I mean, you got to make sure you're
sure
that's
sure.
the case. As you know, I've made some significant refinements to my practice over the last year, and I had a terrific year. My clients did really well. My practice is a lot quieter, and since I've reduced the number of people in my practice, I have the capacity to add more people like the folks who referred to me in the past. Does anybody come to mind who would appreciate it? You see where I'm going?
I certainly do. And in fact, I sent her a whole bunch of referrals last year because she is, and they're still in various stages of engagement because she's an estate planning attorney. And she also has you know, mentioned some referrals she's trying to get me in front of that haven't yet come to fruition. So it certainly would be worth circling back with her to see, you know, if there's anything further I can do to be of assistance to her in getting me in front of this organization that has money in the bank and, you know, needs an investment policy statement and, various other folks she may have mentioned but hasn't yet been able to actually turn into a referral.
Yeah. Well, what you want to do, people forget. People forget. Here's always a good thought process too, Abraham. Anybody you refer to her or to anybody, you always want to circle back and find out if they're satisfied.
I do.
I referred Bonnie, and then you want to share that information with Bonnie in this example. Bonnie, I just want to let you know, when I refer people, I always circle back to make sure that they're satisfied. I referred Bill Jones to you, and I circle back with him, and he's really pleased with what you're doing.
That's a great point.
Yeah, and then, again, does anybody else come to mind who you think might be a good fit for my practice? I mean, again, you don't want people to think, oh gosh, here comes Abraham, he's going to want to have a referral conversation. But if you do it in a thoughtful, professional way, like I just said, I talked to Bill, he's really happy with what you're doing. Does anybody else come to mind that you know that who might be a good fit for my practice? I think that's a professional conversation. It's just not calling out of the blue and hey, need a referral. So, I would, these people, it's not unreasonable that everybody on your COI list would give you two referrals a year. That's not unreasonable at all. That's 12. That's 12, appointments. You close probably 75% of the appointments that you go on when you're referred in. That could be a major part of your business. Nothing works all the time, but over time, everything works. So I would, maybe, again, we're talking about the game board. Again, you can have one or two things, no more than two. It's okay to have one. Something would train my COIs, and the goal would be, I'm making it up, the goal would be to train two. or to update, right, you know, their skills or whatever. Now, I really got to go, but I'm just going to ask a couple questions and I'm going to follow up on it next time. Are you using your practice overview on a regular basis?
Not on a regular basis.
Okay. Do you use your practice overview, Abraham, with clients, prospects, and center of influence? Bonnie, as you know, I've made some significant refinements to my practice. One of the things I've done is put together a one-page overview of my practice. Here it is. I'd just like for you to have it. If ever I disappoint you against what I'm saying my practice looks like, I would consider it a sincere compliment if you would let me know so I can address the issue. Also, I wanted you to have it in case you would run across someone who you think would be would benefit from what I do, and you can describe me more. You can describe me more specifically. So you got to get that. You use that with centers of influence. You use it with your clients. Same thing. I've made some refinements, as you know. I'd like for you to have this for two reasons. Number one, if ever I disappoint you against this, what I'm saying my practice is, I would consider it a real compliment if you would let me know so I can address the issue immediately. Also, I wanted you to have it in the event someone would come across your mind who would benefit from being in my practice. I wanted you to be able to specifically describe what I do. And then you obviously use it with prospects. So the goal here is to get this practice overview into everybody's hands.
I got you.
All right. Now, and then one other quick thing. Don't forget VIPSA. Best time to start a referral conversation is when people recognize your value. Value given, value recognized. Thank you for saying that, Ms. Jones. I work really hard to provide that level of planning. Do you know anyone else who would appreciate that same type of leadership, whatever? That's as easy as it gets. All right, I got to talk to some people in Cincinnati in 4 minutes.
All right, sounds good. Thanks again, Bob. Right. I appreciate it, as always.
Great job. Do these small things. Get them on your game board. Get your pipeline.
Yep.
Get your pipeline full.
All right. Will do.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you.